What up, everybody? It's your girl, Nasima. And back in November 2017, I did something kind of wild. I paid off a whopping $955,533.84 in debt. Yes, you heard that right. Nearly $1 million gone. How did I pull off that financial magic trick? Well, one of the biggest game changers for me was diving headfirst into the world of podcasts. I soaked up every bit of knowledge from folks sharing their money journeys, and it sparks a real change in how I handle my own. So now I'm flipping a script, and I'm here to share my stories with you every Tuesday. We're going to get real about it all, the wins, the oops moments, and those golden lessons learned along the way. Whether it's about scraping pennies or making big money moves, I've seen it all. So tune in, take notes, and let's get our financial freedom on. Y'all ready? Let's do this. What's up, my financially intentional people? So last week I shared a post on Instagram and I got a lot of feedback that was incredible that I wasn't really expecting, but it was a pretty vulnerable post, and the love and support that I got after posting was super inspirational. So before I share the post, I just want to share a couple of the comments, and there were some amazing comments, but I'm going to share a couple of them on here. And then I want to talk about what I share in more detail about my thought process and what is going on behind what I shared. So one of the comments reads, "I appreciate you on so many levels for using your gifts to uplift others. I also understand the emotional toll it takes when you're invested in other people. Everything you've said here makes it clear that you can love yourself while also loving others and having healthy boundaries. It's a journey, and you're truly doing the best you can. I wish you great success. I wish you peace and rest too." So that was a great comment. Another comment that I received is, "I appreciate you. I believe in your intent and motivation to help others," which is really spectacular, especially considering you're fully employed and fully parenting 3 kids. Thank you for what you do. You're not perfect. You don't have to be, and you're not an imposter. So the post that I shared was like the trending Instagram is a highlight reel. Social media isn't real. And what I titled it was "Things I Don't Often Share on Social Media." So I'm going to go through the points that I made in the post and kind of expand upon them a little bit. So it'll help you get to know a little bit about me and what's going on and what has been going on and just how I think. The first point I made was, though I'm known for my epic debt payoff journey, I still have debt. It was all intentional debt taken on to grow my business. I hate it the same. I'm currently in grind season to knock it out. I've learned that I have a low tolerance for debt. You guys, this is like so real. And the reason why I share so much, and I'm a proponent of being transparent. However, like, it can be hard to really put yourself out there on social media, especially if you're known for one thing. So I'm totally known for being the best debt slayer, for paying off $1 million in debt. And I've gone through periods of paying that debt off, acquiring more debt. And like I said, I have acquired debt intentionally, but it does not mean that it makes me less debt averse. I am very debt averse. Like, I don't like debt. And even if it's taken out with the best intention, it still weighs heavily on me. The debt that I have right now weighs heavily on me. And I am getting to a point where I'm just now addressing it, taking the time out when I had the baby on my maternity leave and being off of work for 10 months also didn't help the fact that I was like trying to knock down this debt. And it was all debt acquired before then. And the debt was around, like I said, growing my business. It was paying for people to help me grow my business, people to work in my business and masterminds and learning and all of these things. Everything was done intentionally. However, it still weighed heavily on me. And I think a lot of times it's thrown around that we have to be able to invest heavily in ourselves to see great results. And while I think that is true, you have to understand your aversion towards that debt. And during the time, like, I was okay with the debt because I was bringing in so much money. It wasn't a big deal. But when I had to step away and really take a hit to my income to have the baby and no regrets there, it began to be a bigger toll on my finances in my life than I wanted it to be. And I think we have to look at debt under that lens. Like, yes, you may be able to tolerate debt right now, but in the long term, if you have some life changes, how do you feel about that? And in all honesty, it has been a struggle so much. Like, I went from 0 to 100. So I went from being on maternity leave to going back to work and throwing myself into not just only my regular full-time job, but also taking on two other jobs because I have to get this debt taken care of. I have to knock it out. It is really causing me that much trouble. Now, in taking on those three jobs, I got to a place where it was really overwhelming because honestly, I overestimated how much available time I would have. And now having three kids, so I have pulled back from one of those jobs, but I'm working two jobs where now I went from working my 3/12s a week as a nurse to working 3/12s and 2/8s, 5 days a week as a nurse. And in an effort to really knock down some of this debt and eliminate it. Like, I've gotten to the point where, okay, I've learned my lessons. Like, I do not like this feeling of having this debt burden. So I am working aggressively to get out of it for good. That is what's point number one. Point number two is very honest and raw. Growing my business has been a struggle for me. I make over $200,000 a year being a nurse. And though I know entrepreneurship can be more profitable, it's like really hard for me to take a leap. Plus, I actually love being a nurse and I know I can achieve financial independence through my career. All of this is true. Like, I hear people quitting their job all the time to pursue entrepreneurship. And I think it's great. I think about it too. But honestly, being an entrepreneur is way harder for me, way mentally and physically taxing for me than going in and delivering my babies. And people are always saying, oh, you're trading time for money. You're trading time for money too as being an entrepreneur. And I spend more hours and I find that and being an entrepreneur, I can never turn my brain off. Like, it's always thinking about what the next thing I can do. And I make really good money where I can go to work and come home and forget about my job, be able to focus on my kids. And so when I say that entrepreneurship is a struggle, it is a struggle because I often question, very often, like, why am I still doing this? And let me just tell you something. In all honesty, I've invested so much more time and money into being an entrepreneur that in all honesty, if I hadn't invested that same time into my job, I could have been retired by now. So it is hard, but also because of those comments, like I read earlier, it does motivate me to keep on going. And so I'm here now. I'm going to keep on going, but to say it's a struggle is an understatement. The point number three is it is as hard as it is to raise my kids on my own and pay for the expensive ass daycare, I will never sacrifice the peace and happiness of our home for the sake of our relationship. And I think that I'm a firm believer that nobody like can complete me, right? Like, I'm a whole person as it is, and anybody that I bring into my life has to be a bonus. One thing though that I don't ever want to sacrifice is the peace that I have in my house. And the peace is just the energy, the vibes. My house runs smoothly. Everybody is happy here. And I have been in situations where
hello and welcome to the Waking Up to Grace podcast, where we celebrate and explore the finished work of our Lord, Jesus Christ. The Waking Up to Grace podcast can be found on every major platform. And now, here's Lenny.
being in a relationship has added extra drama and turmoil that shifts the balance in a negative way in my household. And no relationship is worth that. And so I'm happy being single and just raising my kids and doing my thing on my own, even though it does come with a tremendous cost. And yes, I could have somebody that could totally help me and all of those things, but I don't want to do that at the expense of sacrificing our peace. And so I am patiently waiting for a partner that will be able to come into our lives and add to our peacefulness as opposed to taking it away. All assets, no liabilities. And in all honesty, people might think of me as a liability because I have 3 kids, but I have a lot to offer. I understand that I'm not for everyone, but I know that what I have right now is an incredible life, and I don't want to sacrifice that for the sake of just being in a relationship. So I struggle every day with being a better mother. Unlearning ineffective parenting practices is hard and a daily practice. I yell way too much, and these kids love to try me. Let me just tell you, a lot of learning that we have as parents or in learning how to be a parent is typically shaped by, you know, how you were raised. And you know, I had a very interesting childhood. Often say that I was raised by a single dad. My mom left when I was 5 years old, and my dad took on the role of raising us. But I also had incredible grandparents, and you know how close I am with my grandfather, who just passed away in November at 95. But they played a pivotal role in my upbringing. However, my dad did the best that he could as a single parent, like raising us. And my grandma had a huge role in shaping who I am as well and teach me how to parent. But my grandma passed away when I was 14, literally just like when I was making that transition into being a woman or a young adult. And so I feel like I missed out on a lot of lessons and really learning how to be a parent. Therefore, I'm just like figuring it out. And a lot of things and experiences that I had growing up, I don't want my kids to have to go through. I was the oldest, and so I had to parent my younger siblings, and it's a struggle for me not to pass on that to my daughter. Yes, she does have extra responsibilities around the house, but I also am very intentional about her still being a child and have a childhood. I'm like, man, she doesn't cook. By the time she's 10 years old, by the time I was her age, I was like cooking, cleaning, doing all of the things around the house. And I'm like, man, is she behind? And I'm just like, no, she's not. She's fully being a kid. And that's something that I didn't necessarily experience, and trying to give her those experiences. Also trying to learn to stop yelling so much. Corporal punishment hitting your kids isn't effective. They don't learn that way. But trying to learn how to properly raise them to be responsible, respectable adults is really, really hard. And it's something that I spent a lot of time researching and trying to implement. But let me tell you, it is hard, especially when I'm managing 3 very different personalities. And so I'll continue to learn and continue to aim to get better, but it is hard. Number 5 is having a personal finance platform is hard. People want quick fixes and don't understand that wealth building is often boring and takes time. I have seen so many of my friends fall for scams in search of quick fixes, and it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch, you guys. Like, the reason why I title a lot of my stuff like Hella Simple is that a lot of the things that I do and have done in order to shift my relationship with money have not been like flashy things. They're like pretty basic things that, you know, may take time to actually see results. Budgeting, maxing out my retirement accounts, investing in just simple index funds and not like the stocks that you see that your friends recommend, the things that you hear on the news, or buying into life and like crazy index fund, index universal life insurance, like those things that often get us caught in these traps that don't serve us financially. Like people will sell you on some crazy stuff. And I've seen it all. And people always tell me, Nasima, I need you to help me get my money right and do all these things. And I'm just like, you know what? I will help you. But it's probably not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. And the amount of times I have spent like hours and hours and hours helping my friends set up accounts, and then they don't follow through on things because it's not the hottest, latest, and it's not flashy what they think. It's heartbreaking. And it's honestly, it has honestly taken a toll on me wanting to be in this space because I did it to really help my friends and those closest to me. And it's heartbreaking when I see that they're not following my advice, but I can help like a stranger on the internet that has followed me for years that have done all the things that, you know, it's just heartbreaking. It's devastating, and especially devastating when I see that they have gone against something that I told them to do and I have come to me to help them get out of the hole that they have dug. It's hard. Number six is I love helping people, but I realized that coaching wasn't for me. I often found that I was more invested in people's goals than they were, and that people didn't follow through with the things that they were coached to do. I take it personally, and it was too emotionally taxing for me. This is like piggybacking off of that whole last point that I made. And I don't want to want something for you more than you want it for yourself. I don't want to be fighting harder for you than you're fighting for yourself. It is taxing, like seeing people make the same mistakes over and over again, even though you have given them the blueprint. And I know that this is not unique to just finances. This is unique to other things in people's lives. And so I have largely stopped coaching people because of this, because it physically drains me, especially when I don't see people like actually taking action on the advice that I've given them. So most of my revenue that I make from Financially Intentional is through self-guided like products or with brand collaborations where I am just the conduit of information and I'm recommending things that I believe in. But the coaching, like I tried, y'all. I really tried. And you know what? I tried so hard that I thought it was me, like that I'm not a good teacher. And recently, in one of the positions I told you I gave up, I actually was a teacher. I did clinical instruction for a nursing school. And I realized I am a good teacher. I am a really good teacher. But the coaching aspect really made me believe that I wasn't a good teacher, but I am. But again, coaching isn't for me. And it has been a struggle for me to find a way to effectively help people create change with their finances. So point number seven is I struggle with the thought of being an influencer. I'm just trying to figure this stuff out and sharing my imperfect journey. As my platform grows, so does my imposter syndrome. And that's just real as hell because people will look at me just because of my follower account as an influencer or because of the brand collaborations I have. And yes, I have a unique voice and I believe that everybody should be sharing their story because there's somebody who can learn from you. But the term influencer for me is heavy because I don't necessarily want to influence you. I want to encourage you that you are worthy And it's also hard for people to be like, you're my friends. And it's, oh my God. Or if I meet somebody in public, oh, I follow you. I'm just like, oh my God. I am just like an imperfect person trying to navigate through this life. But I also do share just so, you know, other people can learn from my journey. And it's quite humbling because I just got honored at this event in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago and got this Influencer of the Year award. And there were other people being honored. And I legit was like, I'm not worthy of being in this space because these Black women, let me tell you, were incredible. I'm talking about women on the boards making influential decisions about how the biggest corporations are moving and affecting change in the world. And I'm just like, oh my God. I'm sitting in these rooms, and as much as I was honored to be in that room, I was just, but me, I'm just a nurse, and I just have this little platform. And so it's hard for me to lean into and embrace the impact that I've had, but also in being humble, listen, I don't have it figured out. I'm going to share what I know and I'm going to help you, but I don't necessarily want to be called an influencer. So anyway, I hope those things I shared also inspire you as a podcast listener, but hopefully it helps you to get to know a little bit more about me, my train of thought, what's going on in my life. But also I want to just thank all the people that took the time out to pour into me on that post. It really was something that I needed because your girl is out here tired and I'm doing the things, but feeling quite overwhelmed with the things that are going on as I transition into going back to work full time and being a mom of three and doing it largely on my own. Shout out to my support network that I do have, but a lot of the load is still heavily on me. But it's been a season. It's definitely been challenging, but I do want to give thanks to everybody that's been rocking with me. Thankful for the people who have just discovered me and are here as well. Wishing you the very best. And as always, please show your girl some love by rating this podcast, sharing this podcast. And I'll be back on Thursday to share more with you. But again, I'm grateful. I created a solution to solve the problem that I was having with my wardrobe that I know my friends have been telling me that they are struggling with, not being able to fit most of the stuff in your closet right now. If you're like me, you have clothes in your closet that you probably have for years that you keep around because of how much you pay for it. Are they still cute? But at the end of the day, you're hoping that you can still like fit back in it. It ain't working, sis. And so I have fluctuated about 30 pounds just over the last year. Obviously, I was pregnant. Now I'm not pregnant, but still like trying to lose that weight. So not trying to commit to buying new clothes that I am going to probably not fit into next month. So I created a way to keep me and you looking fly without putting a major dent in your pocket. And the best part about it is you can try it for free for a month. And after the first month, it is $50 a month for unlimited clothing plus free shipping. It's called Intentional Style Suite. And you can get all your favorite styles in your virtual closet and get two at a time. And you wear it as much as you want and switch out as much as you want. You send the items back whenever you're ready. You just click that you're ready to send it back and you get items sent to you right away, even before you ship, put it in the mail. So you get free exchanges, free shipping, free dry cleaning. And the best part about it is there's no commitment. Cancel anytime. Head over to intentionalstylesuite.com and let me know what you think.
Thank you for listening to my mom's podcast. Bye-bye.